Thank you for sharing that song with us today. If you have your Bible, we're going to be a bunch of places, and so you can do your best to keep up, but you may just want to take some notes as we go. It's not a expository message in the sense of one passage and move forward, so I'll get you there in just a moment. But as we come to the close of 2017, I look across this room, and I'll be honest, what I see in this place is a lot of reasons to be thankful. I see families in this room that had children at the brink of death, and God did a miraculous thing and brought life. I see people in this room who were dealing with sickness and disease, and God did a great work. I see people in this room, truthfully, who were walking through a family member's passing from this life to eternity with Jesus, and they're not here today, but they are with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I see others in this room that you've been going through personal struggles, and maybe God has brought deliverance, and for others, maybe he simply brought peace in the midst of your struggle. Whatever the case may be, we have so much to be thankful for as a people. And so I would be remiss to not take just a moment to allow us just to thank God. And so I would encourage you, just make an altar in your own seat of your own heart and life and just thank God for the blessing of life. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for the opportunity to live out his grace and mercy. Father God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the gift of life, the gift of healing, the gift of salvation, the gift of growth in you. Father, you give us opportunities to be the man and woman you've called us to be. May we take great advantage of every moment of breath you give us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about what's coming in 2018, what's happened in 2017. I love this very last week of the year because it is full of TV stories and news reports and Facebook posts and magazine articles that are all about end of the year lists. And I love facts. I love statistics. I love minutia, just useless information. I enjoy all of that to see all that happened in the year. I love the articles that say that McDonald's sold 550 million Big Macs in 2017. That's 17 Big Macs every second, if you're counting. That's a lot of Big Macs, okay? I love to find out from the article I read just yesterday, it was talking about food that was sold, and that a single Krispy Kreme donut store can sell up to 1 million dozen of donuts a year. And there are 1,000 stores, so 1 million times 12 times 1,000 is a lot of donuts. I don't have any idea how to figure that up, but that's a lot of donuts. I don't want to be sacrilegious, but I do know in Scripture there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. It talks about food. I believe we'll be somehow there'll be some food that will be eaten in heaven. So I'm hoping to open the first Krispy Kreme franchise for eternity. So if that bothers you, well, I'm going, and so I'm going to ask. It's all. That's between the Lord and me at this point, I guess. So, but I want to say that looking back is not all mindless, useless facts either. Those would be pretty useless. But I also like to look back and see a picture of God's grace and providence. I love to look back and see the actions that would be good for me to repeat and the steps that I need to never do again. And there's both in 2017 in my life. It's a great time to evaluate. On a personal note, I did something this year I haven't done for a few years. It's been a while, but I stopped and added up the major actions of my ministry. And I'm going to tell them to you. There's a reason I'm telling you. You'll see in a second. But it was a blessing. I was able to officiate 8 weddings and 2 wedding vow renewals in 2017. That is such a joy. Listen, I have never seen an ugly bride. It's just beautiful, beautiful to see. I'm serious, and it's just beautiful to see the union that takes place and to be a part of that in people's lives. I had the privilege of conducting 18 funerals in 2017. That's too many. But I want to tell you, it is a privilege, even in the midst of people's pain and their joy, to see the holy moments where people step from this life into eternity. It's an honor to be a part of that, and it is part of life. We had a privilege here at this church to baptize 20 new believers in 2017. What a blessing that is. Praise the Lord. I added up something I've never added up before, but I preached 51 messages, led 36 Bible studies, and 32 Sunday school small group sessions. And I thought about all those, made me tired to think about it, but I thoroughly enjoy teaching and speaking in that regard, and that was just joy for my life. Then there were hundreds of meetings and visits and counseling sessions, and the year's gone just like that. So it's easy for me to stop and be thankful for the good things, and I would call all of those, even the funerals, good privileges. It's a joy to be a part of those things in life. But then there are the things I would rather not count if I'm going to go back and recount the final year. How many words in anger were spoken to my children in 2017? In the words of many politicians under oath, I will say, I cannot recall. How many conversations have I had that crossed the line to a little bit of gossip or grumbling or complaining? I don't want to stop and think about those. How many moments of gluttony, lustful thoughts, little white lies? That's none of your business, is what I would say. But I also would say that there are too many for me to stop and want to evaluate. So I don't want, here's the truth of the matter. I have been a follower of Jesus for just over 38 years. And as someone who has known the Lord for a little over 38 years, I can tell you this for certain. I still need God's grace and new life every single day. And I would say the same is true for you. There are people in here who have been walking with the Lord a lot longer than me, and you still need God's grace and his new life and power every day. And there are some that are brand new believers, new in their faith, and it's so fresh, but you need God's grace and new life every day. The scripture is clear that God made me, just like he made you, those of us who know him, he made us positionally righteous in his eyes. That's an entire theological understanding of what that means in a lot of scripture, but it basically means this, if I were to boil it down in a quick nutshell, and that is this, that the day you were saved, that God brought you new life, he made you positionally righteous. You are righteous in his standing and in his eyes. But the reality is, those of us who are positionally righteous don't always live a practical righteous life. Those are two different things. We can be positionally righteous, righteous and holy in the eyes of God, yet not live a very righteous life on this earth. So what we need to do is to pray and to seek the Lord and his counsel and wisdom and his plan that we might live a practical righteous life as well, that we can walk new in him. And so that's what I want us to focus on for just a few moments together. As 2018 approaches, just a little over 12 hours, it's going to be here soon. As it approaches, let me remind you and me that God has made more things new than just a new year. There is more new than just a new year. It is your life and mine. So if you're writing things down, I'm going to move quickly through some verses. You probably won't be able to keep up, but you can write down where they're from and study them more later. First, I would say what God has made new. Be reminded today, he has given us a new king. We have a new king. 1 Timothy 6:13 through 15 says, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who is in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You have a new king. If you can't find anything to be thankful for in 2017, be thankful you have a king. In a day and age where we struggle with our presidents, we struggle with our senators, we struggle with our congressmen, we struggle with any others who are over us in authority, here's what I would say to you. You have a king who's never let you down. King Jesus is mighty. King Jesus is righteous. And he has been the king of 2017, and I assure you he will be the king in 2018. So friends, I want to encourage you to be reminded, whatever trouble seems to be coming your way, whatever nervousness or anxious spirit you have a king, and his name is Jesus. Not only a new king, but we have a new heart. We have a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 could be quoted by many people in this room. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God has given you and me a new heart. God's given you a new heart. He's given me a new heart. How about not just a new heart, but a new mind as well? 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Not only do we have a new mind, it tells us that we have within us the character qualities, the mind of Jesus Christ. We can renew our minds in the same way that Jesus is new. We can continue to renew our minds. We have a new mind. Not only do we have a new king, a new heart, a new mind, you and I, we're blessed to have a new spirit within us. Titus 3, 4, and 7 says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, the Holy Spirit has done that work in your life and mine, and we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Listen, we have a lot to celebrate today. God has done that in you. But not only has he put a new spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in you, he has given us and allowed us to be a part of his new covenant. I'll give you a few verses about the covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. You see, the old covenant, the covenant with Abraham, the old covenant was based off of the promise that of right living. There were rules and regulations and commandments. The new covenant of grace in Jesus is not based on behavior, but it's a promise based on his grace. Aren't you thankful for a new covenant? That's what God does for you and me. Hebrews 9:15 says, therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgression committed under the first covenant. What does that mean? It means under the first covenant, you and I were doomed because we had transgressed, we had sinned. The first covenant was null and void in us, but a new covenant was made through the grace of Jesus, and he's the mediator between us and God the Father, and he gives us grace and forgiveness. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We who once were far off have been brought near in him. Listen, I'm thankful because I do know in this room there are people that have given their life to the Lord this year. Think about this. The last day of 2016, you were far off from God. And here we are, the last day of 2017, and you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. What a blessing that is. That is not something you or I could have ever earned or worked for. It is the free gift of God for us today. So he gives us and allows us to be a part of his new covenant. And then I love this part. He gives us a new name. We've talked about this past year. Galatians 4:7, one of my favorite verses in the scripture, says this, but when the fullness of time had come, Galatians chapter 4, going all the way back to verse 4, up through 7, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, being born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit, Holy Spirit, of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. I love that song that's been popular this past year. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It repeats that over and over again. It's a beautiful message. We are no longer slaves to death, to fear. We are children of God, not by our own doings, but by his adoption. He has called you and me and drawn us into himself. So you've been given a new name. Now, Revelation says that you have a name that only God knows. We don't know it. You don't know it. I don't know it. Someday we'll know it. He's given you a new name. But right here, we've all got the same new name. And that's not slave. The new name is son, daughter. We are sons and daughters of the King. And the last scripture I'll share is this. Not only does he give us a new name, but we need to be reminded that he gives us a new commandment. And the new commandment comes from John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So friends, you think about all the ways we've been made new. We have no excuse for 2018 not to be the best year yet. So I'm praying for your life and mine, that as we look back on all the blessings of the past year, that we have seen that he's brought us a new heart, a new life, that he is a king in our lives, that we've walked in the new covenant of what he's done, his new mercies, his grace. We could go on and on. As we stop and reflect on all the things he has done, and we look forward to what we will step into tomorrow, that we can be reminded that this coming year can be the best year yet of your life, the best year of your living. All because we can walk new in him. Now, next week, we're going to begin a new 6 weeks message series entitled Equipped. And as we work through this series, I want you to understand, though, that that word equipped will eventually become the theme of our entire year for the coming year. Our entire year is being designed that we can see how God would equip us for life, equip us to grow, equip us to serve, and equip our families to last and to thrive. Listen, God does want your family to last, but he also wants it to thrive. He wants more than just existing. And so God has a plan. We're going to look at that over the next 6 weeks in depth, but then arch our entire year over this theme as we move forward. And we're going to give specifics next week of how that begins and what that looks like. But I want to start today with a simple challenge. And the challenge is this, that the best way to be equipped for the life that God's called us to is through the Word of God. This is the best way. So let me start with this. If you do not have a copy of God's Word, do not leave here today without a free gift from us. There are some copies of the ESV translation of God's Word in the pew racks in front of you. There should be some around you. They're white cover, I believe, paperback. Take one of those. Don't think twice about it. Take it. If you've got another family member at home that doesn't have one, take one for them. We have plenty more we will put out. We're never going to turn you down for a free copy of God's Word. We want you to have God's Word. But friends, it is not enough to just own a copy. I would encourage you to let this coming year be the year that you and I are committed more than ever to unlocking the truth of who God is and what he's about through his word. That we will discover together what he is saying to us. That we will together make a commitment that we will spend time alone in his word and to see what he would have for us. I have to tell you, though, that it's really easy year after year to get to the place where we find ourselves in some sort of routine or reading less and less of God's word or simply waiting till Sunday Bible study to read it along with someone else. Friends, I want to encourage you. It is truth from the Lord. And I would encourage you to read it. Imagine if the President of the United States were to somehow get your phone number. I mean, he could get it pretty easily, but if you were to get your phone number, and then you get home from church today and you're sitting on the couch, you're getting ready for the next round of bowl games and you're ready for what's coming and have eaten some lunch and you're just at that point where you're pretty sleepy. I don't know if I'm describing your Sunday afternoon, I'm describing mine to you, but you're just at that point where you're about to doze off and you find yourself, you think you're awake, but you realize you're asleep because you wake yourself up snoring. That's just me, maybe, but I do that. And then so let's say your cell phone rings and you look down And the little caller ID says 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, most of us are going to think that's a scam and not really the president because, you know, how could it be? But you decide to answer it anyway, and on the other end of that phone line is the president of the United States. And he says, look, I know it's going to be a good year, so here's what I'm going to do. For the next 365 days, I have access to all of these top secret information from the FBI, from the Secret Service. I have at my disposal the greatest scientists, the greatest mathematicians, the greatest sociologists and educators. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make available to you 10 minutes a day. You pick the time. Whatever time you want, you'll get a call from me every day. 10 minutes, we'll talk. You ask me a question, I'll ask somebody the answer, I'll give you the answer. 10 minutes every day the next year. That's a pretty good deal. I don't care if you like the president or not. That's an incredible thing. You shouldn't turn that down. That'd be foolish. And so you take that and you get ready, you get excited. And so Monday morning comes around and it's New Year's Day and the phone rings and I'm very excited. And I answer the phone and Mr. President, yes. I said, I'm going to have it. I ask whatever question I want to know about world government or something happening in the world. And nothing's top secret. Nothing's off limits. He gives me 10 minutes and tells me what I want to hear. I'm feeling pretty good about this. So what am I going to do? I'm going to hang up the phone and I'm going to get out a little notepad and I'm going to start making out a list of things that I want to ask the next day because I'm going to be eager for that conversation. Tuesday morning rolls around, the phone rings. But on Tuesday, I'm thinking, well, pretty tired. That Alabama game went really late on Monday night. And I'm not going to make any predictions here in my story, but it went late. And so I'm just going to let the voicemail get it. On Tuesday. Don't answer it. Wednesday comes around, it happens again, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to get three kids ready for school. My wife's got to be there to teach. I got to get three kids off to school. I don't have time for this. I'll just have to wait till tomorrow or the next day or the next day. Listen, it would be crazy to think that any of us would turn down an opportunity to have that access of resource of information for 10 minutes a day. We'd take that gladly. But friends, the president's not trying to call you, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is willing to move in your life, to impart knowledge and power to you and to me on a consistent daily basis from the Word of God. How in the world is it that we have those days where we stop and say, awful busy today, I'll catch it tomorrow. You know, we're really in a hurry, so maybe later tonight I'll find a minute and we close it. How easy it is to do. It seems foolish to think about doing it with the physical leader of our world, but oh, how we would do it with the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I want to challenge you, and I really am challenging myself, because it's real easy for me to spend time in God's Word preparing for a message or Bible study or something like that. But I need my personal time with the Lord that's not designed to be something for you. I need my personal time with the Lord as well. And it is real easy for me to get busy and set that aside and count my sermon preparation as that or count this as that. When the truth is, God wants to transform me every single day. He wants to impart truth and make me new in him. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces the thoughts of the heart, just like it pierces joints and marrow. What I would say, that's a rough translation, by the way, but what I would remind you of is this, is that God's word is alive. It will meet you in your circumstance. There is truth here to be learned for 2018. It is historically accurate, but it is also theologically correct, and it is inspirational in that it will continue to show you power and truth of who God is. So friends, I want to encourage you, open the door to God's word every day in 2018. We have some ways to encourage you and to help you. There are some resources that we have available today. I want to quickly tell you about them. And I want to start by saying this. Every resource except for one is online as well. You can go to albertvillefbc.church and you can find all of these resources under a section called resources. It's there. You'll find all of these different helps for you, everything except the one book I'm going to mention. But real quickly, we have hard copies available as well. There are two tables, one outside, just to the right outside the worship center doors, and one right near the prayer room outside the worship center doors right here. You can take your pick and grab some of these resources. Let me show them to you. First of all, there's a sheet we've used once before, but it's very helpful. If you want to begin a regular, steady diet of God's Word, I highly recommend this one piece of paper for you. And it simply says 5 questions to ask when reading the Bible. And here's the 5 questions. It basically tells us every time you read God's Word, use these questions and it will help you understand what you've read and how to apply it. Number one, is there a command to obey? You read a passage and then you ask, was there a command in there for me to obey? And it gets much more specific in the details here. Number two, is there an example to follow? Was there something I should or should not be doing by watching what someone else did in this passage? And there's more information here. Number three, is there a promise to claim? Is there a promise that God gives that I should claim from this passage, and how do I apply that? Number four, is there a sin to avoid? Is there something in that passage that reminds me, don't do this, and it's something to avoid? Then number five, is there a principle to follow? I would encourage you, we've used this before, but it never hurts to start the year off right again. Take these 5 general questions, and it gives more information. And I want to strongly encourage you to use this in your personal study. It will help you to understand what God is saying through Numbers chapter 14, which is not always easy to understand. It will help you to understand what God is saying through the book of Micah, where we were today in our small group lesson. It will help you to understand what God is saying in Luke chapter 4. It will help you as you look at the book of Revelation. Take these 5 questions as you systematically study God's Word. There are copies out there, or you can simply get it online if you prefer that. But I encourage you to use that resource. Next, what you will find is there are several reading plans available. These are not things that we're telling you you need to do. It's not legalistic in that you have to finish all of the Bible in a year. We're not saying that. But we want to encourage you to find a systematic approach to God's Word. You may take one of these plans and take 2 years to finish it. That's okay. Whatever it takes, just find a systematic approach to God's Word. But there are several plans. I want to tell you about them really quickly. You choose one that works for you. I've tried a few different ones, and I'll show you ones that you like. The first one is the one that I'm going to use in 2018. And it is a plan that is designed to give you something different to read every single day, a breakdown of the different types of books of the Bible. Over the course of a year, you would read the entire scripture, but it's going to break it down this way. On Sundays, it will give you the epistles. You'll get those New Testament epistles. On Monday, you will read books of the law from the scripture. On Tuesday, you will read the historical books. On Wednesday, you will read from the Psalms. On Thursday, you'll read the books of poetry, which is Job and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. On Friday, you'll read books of prophecy, lots of the major prophets and the minor prophets. And then on Saturday, it reads from the Gospels. So basically, before it's all said and done, over the course of a year, you have mixed up what you're reading, but it's systematic in how it works. And it's a great way for you to study God's Word. So I'm going to do that this year. If you want to do the same thing I'm doing, we can swap some notes back and forth. It's simply called 52-Week Bible Reading Plan, but you'll see it's by different topics of the types of books of the Bible. Then there is a plan called reading just the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs in a year. This will be a little easier than the whole Bible in a year, and that will be perfectly fine as well. It's going to break it down for you just like it says, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. Then there is a plan that's called the Bible Reading Chart. It is read at your own pace. You may take 5 years to complete it by reading a little bit every day, but it shows you how to mark that off as you go. Those are available there. Then there is one that is a chronological reading plan. Now, I have to tell you, chronological plans are great, but you got to be careful. You get bogged down pretty early on in there. It's not for the faint of heart in certain places, but I strongly encourage it at some point to try that. There's great information here that can help you. And this was one of my favorites from years past. It's the one that I have been working on trying to complete now for a little while again as well, and that is what I would call my favorite pick, and that is it has a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New, a little bit of Psalms and Proverbs systematically together all throughout the year. You read a little bit, and it flows just like that. Now, all of these are resources we simply want to make available today. It would not be good for us to be a church that says, read your Bible, but that doesn't give you some information of how to help you do that. And then lastly, there's a book, and we do not have but a limited number. We only have a limited number of these. We can order more if they all are gone pretty quick today. But all the rest of the resources are free. These are $10 a piece just to cover the cost of the book. We'll cover the cost of shipping. But if you would like one of these, it's called Reader's Guide to the Bible. We made these available about 3 years ago, and they were very popular to a number of folks. You may still have one, but it will help you with the chronological reading plan. Every day, though, it's going to give you a little bit of explanation about what you're reading. A little bit of explanation and a question to use. Very well put together. It will help you understand what you're reading as you go. And so these are great books. We would encourage you to pick up one of those, either one of those tables as well. You can give your $10 to our greeters at the welcome desk. And if you don't have it today, but you want one, you can tell them, I'll bring you the money next week, and we will trust you with that. And so we encourage you to do that. Why do we talk about these practical tips? Because God's Word is what's going to make the difference in your life for 2018. Let me let you in on a secret. It's not going to be if you can have perfect attendance in worship. Now, I hope you'll be here every Sunday. I really do. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I already know 2 weeks next year I'm not going to be here. I hope you come on anyway. I'm not even going to tell you the 2 weeks, but I hope you come on anyway. But here's the thing. I hope you will come, but perfect attendance in church is not the answer. Perfect attendance in Bible study is not the answer, though it is a wonderful tool and resource. But if you come to worship to hear me or someone else speak from the Word of God, if you go to Bible study to hear someone lead a lesson about the Word of God, the reality is those things are great and helpful and useful and inspirational, and God can use them, but they will never take the place of your personal time in God's Word, what He will speak to you directly as you read His Word. You see, friend, God wants your personal walk with Him to be benefited by His Word, not just what you're fed by me or someone else. And so I want to encourage you to systematically study His Word. If you need more help with how to do that, we will help you. There's a wonderful app that we'll talk about next week called the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have that, Y-O-U version is how that's spelled, not the letter U, Y-O-U, YouVersion. It's probably, in my mind, the one app that's changed the world for the gospel's sake. It's an incredible app. It has thousands of devotions already on there. It has over 100 different translations of God's Word. You pick the one that you like to read, and it's there. If you don't, listen, here's a little secret. If you struggle reading, and you will go and download the YouVersion app to your smartphone or tablet or computer, you can press a little button, and it will read it out loud to you. That's great. It's fine. I would encourage you, whatever it takes for you to be able to consume God's Word, do that. Use it. We'll talk more about that next week and how we can do some things together through that. But I simply wanted to take a few minutes today to remind us all that we have been made new. We are righteous in His eyes, those of us that know Him. But that does not change the fact that we must be equipped to walk new and to live that out in a practical way. And God's Word is the key. So will you join me in making a commitment? Now, I'm not looking for a New Year's resolution. You may love resolutions. You may hate them. Whatever. That's fine. But the point is, I want to ask you to make a simple commitment, a challenge, that this year, 2018, will be the year of the Bible. That 2018 will be the year, if nothing else, that you will connect with the Word of God on a personal way, on a daily basis. That you'll use those five questions to help you understand it, that you'll be able to take and apply that to your life, that if you have questions, we'll help get them answered. But I trust the Holy Spirit at work in you as you read His Word. He's going to speak to you, friends. Encourage you with that. So would you let this year be the year for you? A number of us, you've been consistent in that for years. It's just a renewal. But for some of us, it's a first opportunity to say, I will let this year be a year. I will be transformed by the Word of God. That's my prayer. Now, if you're like me, when I started today and I gave you that list of things that I could feel pretty good about, like I got something accomplished, but then I gave you that list of things that I wish had never happened, conversations, thoughts, actions. Here's the truth. You've probably got your own list as well. Now, I'm not going to ask you to look to the person next to you and make a confession about things you regret from this past year. But I want to encourage you to stop and realize that the past needs to be the past. If you have struggled with your anger or your temper in 2017, would you humbly ask the Lord to transform you and give you some practical ways to work through it in 2018? If you have struggled with gossip in 2017, would you humbly ask the Lord to help you to have a more disciplined tongue and disciplined heart in 2018. If you've struggled with lust, or you've struggled with gluttony, or you struggle, you fill in the blank for you, for me. If you struggled in some way in this past year, would you ask the Lord to help you on a daily basis as you seek to use His word and the Holy Spirit within you leading you to walk new and fresh in Him? Listen, friends, it's the perfect time. It's a perfect time to stop and make a renewed commitment. For some, it's repentance needed, and then a renewed commitment to the Lord. Finding ways to be thankful and grateful, and then ways to be challenged to a new form of living. And listen, I'm talking to you if you're 12 in the room or if you're 93. It's good for all of us, a renewed commitment for this coming year. I've done this, I think I did it last year, and I'm going to do it again this year. You have to humor me, okay? But if you have some type of circumstance this past year that has been a struggle, a difficulty, and you realize that you want to move forward and you want to get past that, you want to, by God's grace, be the man or woman that He's called you to be. You don't want to be stuck in a past sin or sin pattern or in a past regret, then I want to encourage you, and I encourage all of us, to make a forward commitment for what God is doing in our lives today. This is the way we did it last year. It's the way we'll do it again today. Would you stand to your feet real quick for me for just a second? Everybody, turn and look over your right shoulder as far back as you can turn and look. Now turn back and look over your left shoulder as far as you can look. Now look right up here. Don't ever look back there again. We're going this way. Don't live back there. Don't live with that regret. Confess it, repent, and move forward. God's grace is new today. His mercy is new today. Some of us would say, I'm sad to see 2017 go because it was a great year. And others are saying, good riddance. Whatever the case may be for you, here's what I know. God is about the one who is the new king, who gives us a new heart, a new mind, a new covenant, a new spirit within us, a new commandment to live. The God who does all of that, He's not so much about what's happened this past year as He is about what's happening right now, today, tomorrow, new you, new day. Let's walk forward in Him. Would you pray with me? Father God, with our heads bowed in this moment, we come to a time where we're going to sing a song and give people an opportunity to respond. Father, my prayer is that really before we worry about a song or even having to come, that we'd all just make a renewed commitment in our minds and our hearts now where we stand. If there's someone here that needs to repent in some way, that they will do that at their seat where they're standing, or they'll come and kneel here before others, before God and man, to make a moment of repentance, private, but where others can see to pray. Father, if there are those here that have struggled with certain things this past year, but we truly see You are new and at work in us, and so we ask that this coming year You do something new and powerful, Lord, I pray that they'd be willing to pray that prayer to give You free reign in their life this year. Father, that all of us would realize that it's just empty emotion to say, be new in Jesus, but not be renewed by the word of God. So God, my prayer is that we would make commitments today, decisions we will honor to be in Your word, to be renewed by Your word, to be challenged by Your word. Father, there may be someone here that on the last day of this year, the start of the new year, that You might be calling them to officially unite with First Baptist Church. Say, this is going to be my faith family now, and I'm committing that I'll be a part of us walking new in Him this year. If God's calling you, you come in just a moment. Father, maybe there are some here that need to get on their knees before You, just privately. Lord, I pray somebody else would come pray with them if they do. If there are those here that need to make public their profession of faith, that they know You, but they want to follow through with baptism, that they'd come and celebrate that. Lord, whatever You're saying, whatever You're doing, we just want Your will to be done and nothing else. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.